Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hey, friends, welcome back. We are in Romans chapter 12 today, and we have been going at a snail's pace, but sometimes that's good when we have some really meaty information that we need to chew on, and we've been doing that. We've been doing a whole lot of chewing the last couple days, but we're in now Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. In fact, we're going to look at verses 3 through 8 as a section on spiritual gifts, and I love this. I love the fact that God has created a system, an economy, a body of believers whereby we can, by God's gifting and with God's enablement, love and help and serve each other. He has made us mutually dependent. He has created a symbiotic body, and I love it. I can't wait to explain these verses, and I hope that you're as excited as I am. The section kind of begins with a bit of a warning. Would you look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, where the Apostle Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So, Paul has just finished that section about presenting your body a living sacrifice and not allowing yourself to be conformed to the thinking, the culture of this world, but to be renewed in the spirit of our mind so that our lives can be a demonstration of God's will and God's purpose and God's plan for our life. And in that vein, and then also in the vein of introducing our mutual dependence and mutual service to each other, Paul says, none of this works without humility. None of this works without an apprehension, an understanding of that we are who we are by God's grace. Paul gave that testimony in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when he talked about the appearances of Christ after his resurrection. That's the great resurrection chapter. But then he said, and I, speaking about himself as the last apostle, and I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So understand that as believers, we are empowered by, enlightened by God's grace. I think about that great passage in the book of Philippians, where it says, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So what is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor that gives me both a desire and an ability to do God's will. And that's our great need. Our great need is for God's favor, God's grace. Are you flagging today in your desire to serve God? Are you defeated today in your ability to live for God? Then ask for God's grace. Oh God, give me a measure of your grace. And how is grace apprehended in our lives? By faith. Believe that God wants you to live in victory. Believe that God wants you to be in a place of service and victory. Service of others and victory in your own personal struggle with this world and sin and the flesh and the devil. And so we need grace. So the Apostle Paul said, I say through the grace given unto me. In other words, I am a satisfied customer. I am one who has learned the secret that the secret to Christian living, the secret to victorious Christian living is to be enraptured by, captured by, dependent upon the grace of God. So I say through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And it's easy sometimes to assume erroneously that, wow, well, I'm a good Christian. Look at my separation from the world. Look at the Bible knowledge that I have. Look at the sacrifices I'm making. All the things we've talked about in verses 1 and 2, we've got to be careful not to allow pride to slip in. It's not that, you know, I am something special. It's that God has given me his grace. And by God's grace, I am what I am. And I have the opportunities that I have. And God has given me the opportunity and the free gifts by which to serve him. Not have I gotten, but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Sometimes we sing that great song. So the Christian life can be sidetracked in a New York second if we allow pride to creep in. Remember, it was pride that was the downfall of the devil himself. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Remember the five I wills of Lucifer in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14. I will be like the Most High. Boy, when pride gets in, we're about ready to take a nosedive fall. Indeed, that a pride goes before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. We know all of this. Before honor is humility. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And humility and faith go right along with each other. Because what faith says is, I am dependent. What faith says is, I am leaning on something else, somebody else, some other foundation. I am not the sum total. I am not the foundation. It's not about me. It's about the gift that God has given me, the word that God has instructed me. And so Paul says, I say through the grace, I've learned this lesson to every one of you. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. But think soberly. The word soberly here means a correct way of thinking, a serious-mindedly, accurately. And so humility is not me downgrading who I am. Humility is not some kind of a mental self-flagellation. Humility is a correct estimation of self. Now, I am valuable as the child of God. And I have valuable gifts in my life that God has given me. But these aren't gifts that I have produced. And I'm not valuable because of who I am intrinsically, but because of who God has made me to be. So humility is not thinking less of oneself. It's really a matter of thinking of oneself less. It's not about me. It's about him. It's not about what I can do. It's about what God can do through me. And so it's not this voluntary humility of I'm just a nobody and God could never use me. And, you know, that's not it. That matter of fact, that's a measure of pride. That's self-focus. Sometimes we self-focus in a braggadocious way. Look at me. And sometimes we self-focus in a voluntary humility way where we say, yeah, I'm just a nobody. In both cases, it's a focus on self. And what Paul is saying here is get your eyes off of yourself. See what God is doing in you so that through you, God can bless other people. That's the introduction to spiritual gifts. So verse number 3, one last time, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, remember, the whole key to Romans is the just shall live by faith. So the faith we have and the faithfulness that ought to be the example of that faith and the faith, which refers to the word of God, that upon which our faith is foundationed, is the faith once delivered. So when we understand this, we live by faith and we've been dealt a measure of faith. So God is about to show us in verses 4 through 7, the very practical way by which our faith is demonstrated. So the the subject matter here is not God arbitrarily giving faith to some people to be saved and saying to other people, you don't get faith, so you'll never be saved. That's an eisegetical reading of this text. No, the context of Romans 12, verses 3 through 8 is spiritual gifts. And in order properly to exercise spiritual gifts, we have to live by faith. Live by faith that when I have the gift of giving, that I am giving unto the Lord. And even though this world and its system that wants to conform me into, boy, I need to be hoarding, I need to be saving, I need to be getting as much for myself as I can. No, it takes faith to say, no, God, you've given me this gift and I'm going to freely distribute. So faith always is essential to our practicing of spiritual disciplines and to our exercising of spiritual gifts. Okay, so I took too long to introduce that. So let's go to verse number 4 and introduce spiritual gifts. So we've got just a little bit of time left, but let's go ahead and introduce it. So Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body. So Paul now uses a metaphor, and he often uses the body metaphor to refer to believers. So when we think about the church, especially the local church, we can think about three extended metaphors that God uses in the epistles. First of all, the metaphor of a bride. He is the husband, Jesus. We are the bride of Christ. That's Ephesians 5. Sometimes the metaphor of the building, that we are the temple of God. Ye are the temple of God, right? 1 Corinthians 3, Ephesians 2. In that metaphor, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. The apostles and prophets are the foundation stones, and we are the lively stones. And so it's a living building. So sometimes the illustration of a bride, sometimes the illustration of a building, but often the illustration is that of a body. So in Ephesians 4 or in 1 Corinthians 12 or in Romans 12, the illustration for a church, a body of believers, is a body. And in the body illustration, Jesus is the head and we are the members of the body. And so we know that a body, like the physical body that I have, has many members, eyes and ears and nose and fingers and toes and knees and elbows and all of it. So, and the circulatory system and the digestive system and our bones and all of that, right? We're a body made up of many parts. So get the illustration. And then in verse number 4, for as many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, or we would say today, the same purpose. So I don't see through my ears, I don't hear through my nose, I don't touch with my eyes. No, every member of the body has been designed uniquely to do what God intended for it to do for the benefit of the whole body. Did you hear that? So every unique member of the body has been designed by God to do things differently than other parts of the body for the purpose of blessing the whole body at the behest of what the head tells it to do. So if you can wrap your mind around those couple statements for today, then we're going to jump into the specific spiritual gifts next episode. So we'll stop right there for now. We'll come back to verse number 5 next time. Hope you'll join us. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.